Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation exists to help people know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New Jersey and beyond. Enjoy the talk. Well, listen, happy Super Bowl Sunday to everybody. Thank you. Thank you, all of you. Yeah, I hope you guys have some plans. And I know my daughter Cassie and I, we have a standing date for Super Bowl Sunday. It's funny, the staff always comes up with, oh, we could do outreach, we could have a Super Bowl party. I'm like, great, you'll love it, I won't be there. one quick announcement is this. Pastor Shino Prater, we've been trying to get Shino back here now just to have a Sunday where we could celebrate him, and I hope he's not watching on Facebook Live or anything. We want to put a little video together for him, and we could bless him, you know, when he comes back. So we were trying to do that. So I tried to get him in mid to late February, and Pastor Ron Lewis is going to be traveling. So he says, no, you can't have him. And so, okay, we backpedal. So I'm like, Shino, March 3rd. Bro, how does March 3rd work? Is that good? Yeah, bro, that'll be great. Until Pastor Dottie called me this week and said, isn't Eddie and Laura's wedding on March 3rd that I believe he's doing, right, Laura? Thank you. So just so you know how important it is to him. So and now I hope he is watching this. So we're working on it. So Super Bowl Sunday, I'm representing today. The New York Jets, okay, all you haters and doubters, one day you will know it's true. Listen, by the way, when I became the chaplain back in 2005 for the New York Jets, it was funny. I had 1 year of Eric Mangini, the man genius, and we were actually rolling, doing pretty well, and then the over-the-top coach Rex Ryan came in, who, for the record, he's a Jesus guy. Like, he would come to Bible study and that kind of stuff, and we began to wreck shop in the AFC, and I can remember, it was funny, I got a call, we were rolling through, I think it was 2011, we rolled through in the wild card game against Peyton Manning and his Papa John eating self, and we rolled through them in the wild card game in Indianapolis, only to then have to face the evil empire in Foxborough against Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. And we went in there and kicked their, amen. All right, we did that. And then I remember getting a phone call. We had to face the Steelers. And then after the Steelers, after we rolled them in Pittsburgh, we were going to the Super Bowl. And I got a phone call from one of the Jet coaches. And he's like, hey, man. The Super Bowl is February 3rd. Are you available? Let me check. Yeah, I think I can make it, right? I was like, oh, I'm going to go to the Super Bowl, and we proceeded to lose. So anyways, but it's coming. If you were to ask me who my favorite team is other than the New York Jets, I would tell you whoever's playing New England. That is my new favorite team. So I am a Rams fan today. And here's part of the reason why is just the evil empire is led by this guy, Thomas Edward Patrick Brady. Maybe you've heard of this guy. You know, the Bible says that God's not a respecter of persons. I don't believe that because, I mean, this dude, it's just not fair. So we have a picture of Tom Terrific. He has 5 Super Bowl rings. All right. He's shooting for number 6. Today, and so he's got 5 Super Bowl rings. Keep it down on the front row. The ushers they will escort you out of here. He's been a 4-time Super Bowl MVP. He's made it to, let me get this, 14 Pro Bowls. How about this? Do you know his net worth is $180 million? But once again, I feel like it's not fair. You should be that good looking, that good. And did I mention he's married to a supermodel? And she's worth $380 million. So he's actually the trophy wife, okay? I always like to remind you of that. And so that's Tom Brady. Here's where we're going today. I know how to beat Tom Brady. And for the record, 99.9% of the NFL coaches, they know how to beat Tom Brady. If I was to ask Ryan Neal, a former NFL player, actually, I'm going to do it. Ryan, how do you beat Tom Brady? put pressure on him. You get Tom Brady out of the pocket. So this is, we're going to go to school here. So I see some of us like, what's a pocket, Pastor? And so I'm going to show you. So can you just put up the picture of the Tom Brady? So here we go. Now, I thought this was Photoshopped or something. So do you see all the chaos going on around him? And yet there's this enormous big dudes around him keeping all the pressure off of him. And that little soft, safe zone in there, that's called the pocket. And so from the place of the pocket, you know who he is? He's the GOAT, the greatest of all time. You get him out of that safe zone, guess what? He's ordinary. He's common. He's actually kind of funny looking, all right? And that's just the truth. Here's what I want to take us is that you and I have been designed to play from the pocket. That God has made for us the pocket of the peace of God that passes understanding. And when we're resting in the pocket of God, you're dangerous. You are dangerous. You get outside of the pocket, you're vulnerable, you're ineffective. And God has called you. We're raising up leaders here. And so we need you to play from the pocket of peace. And so that's kind of where we're going here this morning. So it's funny. Our text was supposed to be a different text, but I felt led from the Lord to go in this direction. So I pray you find it helpful. How many would admit by a show of hands that you've had a season of stress, of anxiety, even fear? How many would be honest? Okay, keep them raised. Now, I want you to look around, all right? And so that's pretty much everybody, except for Audrey, who's one, okay? And so we can see that that's everybody. And so what if this morning I could promise you greater health, greater joy, I could save you thousands of dollars on counseling. Would you take that advice? All right, then pay attention and take good notes today. All right, let me start with fear, because in our text, we're going to kind of parse out fear and anxiety. And so can I tell you this, that not all fear is created equal. Like, not all fear is bad. Do you know that you and I, that humanity, human beings, they've determined this, that we're intrinsically born with two types of fear. It's the fear of loud noises and the fear of falling. And can't you see what a beautiful design that is from God? Like, fear at times is designed to keep you safe. I believe like a fear of loud noises and stuff is good because it keeps you alert as to what's going on around you. The fear of falling, probably a pretty good idea. I know some of you question that have little toddlers starting to walk and all that stuff, but it'll keep them safe if they're afraid of heights. And so these are intrinsic designs by God, because fear can be a very good thing. I was reading one of the 15 Mark Batterson books that I've read, and in him, he actually records a lady who is, she's suffering a disease that's called Urbach-Wiethe's disease. And here's what it does. It calcifies, or the amygdala, it hardens in the brain. And the amygdala is where we process fear. And so this woman has an inability to feel fear. When I hear that, I'm like, that is awesome. Sounds like you'd be a superhero or something like that. But when you examine her life, it's been a train wreck. Because she's actually, when they were studying her, she went into a pet shop and began to handle dangerous poisonous spiders and reptiles. That she has been held at gunpoint twice and held a knife put to her throat once. She's been was beaten almost to death by her first husband. And all of this stems from, she continually puts herself in situations that are dangerous to her, but she has no idea it's there. And so fear can be a good thing, but it's important to be afraid of the right thing. And this morning in our text, we're gonna see that if you can fear the right thing, then all the other fears take their rightful place. And so if you have your Bible, let's look at Luke chapter 12. I'm going to read verses 4-7, and this is Jesus speaking, and here's something I need you to take a look at the context here, is it says earlier in chapter 12 that Jesus is speaking to the thousands. It says that there's so many people that it becomes somewhat chaotic, But Jesus is going to move from the crowd to the 12 as he talks. And right now he's talking to the crowd, and he says this in beginning in verse 4. He says this, "I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body and after that have nothing more they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear him who after he has killed has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him." He says this, "Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies, and not one of them is forgotten before God? Why, even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, you are of more value than many sparrows." And so here, Jesus' big idea is this, hey, be afraid of the right thing. If you fear God, then you don't have to be afraid of everything else. But if you don't fear God, you have a displaced or a disproportionate fear, then what happens? You won't fear God and you fear everything else. Let me, I'll give you an example. We've all had that person in our life that we were afraid of for whatever reason, be it a boss, be it a coach. It might be even something sillier than that. And so say we've all had Helen in our life. And if your name's Helen, forgive me. I'm just using an example, okay? If Helen's been in your life and you were worried that you were going to upset Helen, so what does it do? You're on edge. You're trying to figure out what you can do to appease Helen that your life would align with her will, right? And we've turned our life upside down, so I don't know who that is. Can I tell you something? Helen can't kill you. Well, maybe she can, but she can't kill you and send you to hell, and that's Jesus' big idea. And by the way, Helen can't save you. Helen didn't go to the cross for you. Jesus did. And so Jesus' big point is, if you fear the right thing, Oswald Chambers, he says it this way. He says, "The remarkable thing about God is that when you fear God, you fear nothing else, where if you do not fear God, you fear everything else." And so the fear of the Lord, it's the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of security and safety. Our pastor in Nashville is a pastor by the name of James Lowe. We have got to get Pastor James in here to preach one Sunday. James says this. He says, I love every man, but I fear no man. I fear only God. And so I think he's got it right. So fear the right thing. And now Jesus is going to deal with the disciples. For the record, if you're here this morning and you know Jesus, he's talking directly to you because you're a disciple. And here's what he says in Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 22. He says this, "And he said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on, for life is more than food and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest?" He says, "Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried, for all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you." Lord, I pray you give us grace this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So notice what Jesus says. He begins with, "Do not be anxious." That is an imperative command. And so we all know, do not lie. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Those are imperative commands from God. But the same God also said this, you do not worry. It's not an option. It's not if you think to. God says, absolutely not. You will not worry. And here's the reason why is this is, see, worry, it's a spiritual cancer. It eats away at the soul. The term for worry, it means to choke and to strangle or to divide. Suddenly your life becomes, it's no longer integrated, right? You're disintegrated. It says this, that, do you know that physically worry, care, anxiety, it wreaks havoc on the physical body. Scientists, they put a lifelong smoker next to a compulsive worrier, and they had the same symptoms. High cortisol levels, weight swings, high blood pressure, on and on it goes. And so God is very serious about the health of his kids. He say, hey, do not worry. Unacceptable. And so here's what else. Worry, it's torture. It's a torture of the mind, and it's relentless, and God doesn't want that. He says, I've come to bring you abundant life. Here's another one, that worry robs you of mission and purpose because it's a distractor. It distracts you from keeping the main thing the main thing. Worry and concern, it eats away at vision. Here's another one. Worry is an indictment against your Heavenly Father. Did you know that? Like, here, I'll use this example. So like I said, my firstborn is here with me today. Cassandra Patricia K. Burt is here, and she's my football partner, and we're going to eat probably a sinful amount of junk food today, and everybody said amen, right? But can I tell you, like, this is what she ordered to wear today, in the effect that something got in this one. She has a formal one that she wore today to church representing the evil empire. And so can you tell that we are not aligned in our way of thinking here this morning? And but here's the crazy thing. If my kid doesn't believe that the Jets rule and reign, do you think you're gonna? And how much more if we say that, oh God, my Father's amazing, he's incredible, yet our lives, we're worried, we're no different than anyone else. So if you don't believe God and his word, why should I, right? And so it's an indictment against our Heavenly Father. I love in the text, it says this, hey, life is more than food and clothes. And if I could put it this way, a different way is this, is life is more than what you're worried about or anxious about. It really is. You know, it's funny, at least at this time in the first century, the majority of the people, they kind of had a legit worry. Like, we didn't have, like, social services, and we didn't have a democratic republic, and so, like wanting to eat was legit. Wondering if you're going to have to live your life naked was legit, okay? Now, you take us, and you know what? We're still worried about food and clothes, aren't we? It just looks a little bit different, huh? Like now, we're not worried about starving. We're just worried about eating the cool thing or the trendy thing now, right? Carbs, no carbs, paleo, whatever. Instagram, right? And take a picture of that thing. Or if you're living large, like Jimmy and Dottie are going with Kim and Ellen to the Cheesecake Factory today. Glory to God. You better post some stuff on Facebook, all right? That is amazing. But how do we know if you're just at home and you're eating ramen noodles today, you're not like, look at me, like eating ramen noodles, can't afford it, right? And so it becomes, it's no longer survival, it's status. Clothes, there ain't a person in here worried about having to go naked tomorrow, all right? But there's plenty of us wondering, I wonder if my jeans are ripped in the right way, Pastor Dottie, and or whatever, you know, and we're worried about how we look, what will other people think. See, life is more than the things you're worried about. It's more than that. And I love, he says this, he says, consider the ravens. Consider the ravens. And he will go on, he says, hey, your Heavenly Father, he cares for this worthless bird. He says, aren't you more valuable than that? And I really want to ask you that question. You know you're more valuable, right? Like you know you're loved by God. I always, not done this before, but we'll see how it goes. So do you guys know that scars tell a story? They tell a story. So I think it was in 91, we were playing in the Montreal Forum. And I remember I dove for a loose puck, and then someone hit my body, and my leg just snapped like that. And And then I remember just like getting my gear off and limping into that. And it turned out I needed an ACL reconstruction. And so I got a good, like they laid my knee open pretty good, tore my MCL. And I remember that moment being real dark because I thought, wow, my career has ended before it even started. And so that scars tell a story. I remember over my right eye here, I got a stick when we were playing in Long Island. He hit me in the right over the head. And then I remember I'm going to get the stitches. And as I go in, the doctor, the head physician who's going to stitch me up, he's got something wrong with his hand. He can't straighten his hand. It's like this. I'm like, are you sure you should be doing this? You know, and he's like, oh, sure, we'll go do this thing. And, you know, so like it's like this big, and we were in Los Angeles. And I remember in Los Angeles, I got a puck in the just over my eye. And so I was in there and they stitched me up. And you know who was in the room with us? Kurt Russell and John Candy. I'm like, shut up, this is so cool. We didn't have like the cameras on our phone and stuff then or whatever. But so, I mean, that's going on. And then I've had my back, I've had 5 back surgeries. And if you were to look at my back, each surgery, it tells a story. I had a staph infection. They said I had a 70% chance of living through the staph infection, which means you have a 30% chance of dying, you know. But like as I always said, good news, I made it. And but there's a lot of so there's all these scars on my back, and I assure you this: when you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ in His resurrected body, when you see His back, it'll be unrecognizable to you, because it had been laid open so violently. Scar tissue just covers the length of His back. Did you know, too, that Jesus saw fit in the resurrected body? He wanted to keep His nail-pierced hands. And I just wonder what that's like if when we were to touch His hand and we hold His hand, you can feel the scar tissue over top of it and His wounded side. And He did all that because scars tell a story. And here's the story: that God loves you unconditionally, so much so that He says, I'm going to suffer in your place. And He chose to have those scars as an eternal reminder to you whenever you question the love of God for your life. I love this too. He says this: what does worry get you? Like, who by worrying can add any time to his life? Got newsflash, you can't. But you know what you can do? You can take time off of your life by worrying. That, I promise you can do that. I love what Corrie Ten Boom, she says this. She says, worry doesn't rob tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. And I've known that to be true in my own life. And Jesus goes on, so don't just consider the ravens. He says, consider the lilies. And I love this. I think we have some pictures. David, do we have some pictures of these? Have you ever seen some of God's creation? And if we get a chance to look at some of these flowers, like God is in the details and in beauty. Like that's for real. Like God thought that and just spoke it into existence. He says, behold the lilies. I think he's kind of almost bragging a little bit. He's like, hey, check this out. I did that. And here's what he's trying to display to us on the canvas of creation is this. God's into the details. He's into the beautiful moments, the intricate moments of your life. And listen, Jesus didn't go to the cross for a flower. He did for you. And so, you guys you'll know this. Like I don't believe in the prosperity gospel. I believe it's off. And I'll say this, and I heard this week, and I agree with this, but it's not far off. Like, you serve a good, good God. And when we chase the giver of good things, He has so many good things in us. Do you know that the Bible says this, is that when you examine your life, anything that's good and right and beautiful, it's from Him. And anything that's off, broken, it's from sin, all right? And you're like, well, why doesn't God fix it? He is. And He's starting with you and with me. He's starting to set right what sin has made wrong. And then I love this. He says this. Jesus says, He says, oh, you of little faith. And you know what's amazing? In the Greek, when you look at it, To the best of my, I'm no Greek scholar standing up here, but I've been told that that word exists nowhere else in the Greek language. Like Jesus made up a new word. It means little faither. Now, how many know, like, so I told Pastor Dottie I'm going to make fun of her today. So Pastor Dottie, if I'm going to shoot you straight, she has a gift of wisdom. So she's the wisest person on the staff. Like, you don't want to come to me with it. You go to Pastor Dottie, right? She's got just gift of wisdom, like, on her life. The weight she carries in this church pales in comparison to what I do. It is just true. I show up and preach, you know, and get to do that thing. And she's making sure everything gets done and all. So she bears a lot of weight. So now I'm going to make fun of her, though, okay? How many have ever heard Pastor Dottie make up a new word? Like, Pastor Dottie, she's like a rapper. She just kind of makes up new words, you know? And so I remember we're on a prayer call. We pray for you every week on a prayer call. We're going, and she's like, God, I thank you that all our prayers are coming to fruition. I'm like, fruition? I don't think that's a word. And then I was like, Kim, what is another word that Dottie uses? And then we were in prayer, and she's like, God, we're here to reach the next generation. We're going to reach the millenniums. Millenniums? Was that a new, what? So Jesus is like our Pastor Dottie, right? And he says, he jams two words together and he says, oh, you little faithers, you little faithers. And how many have been accused of being a worrier, a little faither? That's what he says that we are. He says this, he says, you know, the nations chase after all these other things. You know why? Because they don't have a loving God who provides for them. Of course they're chasing after that stuff. But you and I, we have a loving Father who's assured us, I will never leave you, never forsake you, that I'll supply your each and every need. He assures us of this. And so why would we be worried? He says, seek first the King and the kingdom. I got to land this plane. So if you have a Bible, go to Philippians chapter 4. That was my intro. Don't worry, I got quick points here. Philippians chapter 4, starting verse 4 through 9, because I hear all that stuff, and I think we'd say, yes, amen. We hate worry. Let's get rid of it. How, Pastor? And the good news is the Apostle Paul is going to tell us, he's going to give us, take three pills and call me in the morning. And here's your three points today is this. Paul's going to say the first thing you have to do when you sense worry is you have to, number one, get perspective. Get perspective. I'm going to read verses 4 and 5. Paul says this. He says to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness or your, if I can give you, let your chill be known to everyone. The Lord is here. So we need to get perspective. So I don't know how many of you guys saw, they had like pep rallies in Los Angeles, and then they had pep rallies in Foxborough for the Patriots. And do you guys remember, did you guys see the footage of Tom Brady get up and lead the chant? I don't know if you did. You guys need to watch SportsCenter sometimes. And he began to lead the chant, we're still here, we're still here, we're still here. That should be your chant. Man, listen, when life comes at you, do you realize if you're able to look back in the rearview mirror of your life, do you know how many times you thought you were going to die? This was going to be a train wreck. This surely was going to take me out. I could never overcome this. I got news for you. You're still here. You're still here. God's been faithful in the past through trials and tribulation. He's going to be faithful to see you through your present. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And then get perspective. I think we need to right-size our worry. We need to right-size our worry. And so I never do this, but I'm going to do it now. And so forgive me. Take a deep breath. And I got props. All right? I got props here today. My wife Susan made these for us today. All right? And so I got props. So here we go. We got worry. And here's God. All right? I totally ripped this off from another pastor. So can you guys see this? I thought it was helpful. And so here we need to right-size our worry and our faith because, like, for many of us, worry is massive. Like, it's constantly at the forefront of our mind. It's this enormous thing because it's here. It's right here in front of us. And then the Bible tells us what? Hey, cast your cares upon the Lord. Well, poor God, right? It's like it doesn't fit. It's not working. Well, of course not. because you haven't right-sized your worry. And so here's what I need to see. Here's what we got to do is we need to, number one, you gotta chase down your worries. Have you ever chased down your worries? Or you ask the question, well, how about this? Have you ever had a kid, like you're trying to explain something, and they're like, so? And then you explain it a little more, well, so? And you explain it a little more, and so? And then suddenly by the end of the conversation, you're like, yeah, I guess that is stupid, you know? And like a little kid talks you out of it. And so you need to see worry is a bully. And you need to confront that bully. So what? Then what? So what? Then what? And you take it on and on. And what you begin to see is the thing that you're terrified and tormented by, it's not that big a deal. I'm not saying it's nothing, but I'm saying it's not everything. All right? And then what we need to do is we need to right size God. Right? We get that right? Cast your cares upon the Lord. No problem. Piece of cake. See, we serve an enormous God. Amen. See, I stole that from the internet. Hallelujah. See, the Bible says this, is that God, he measures the oceans in the palm of his hand. Like, that's how big God is. You know, the Bible reveals God as the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. But you know he's bigger than that? He's eternal. That means he has no beginning. He has no ending. He just has always been. And so that's who we serve. And so you got to get perspective. Here's another one. He says, now when you sense worry, you need to attack it with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Look at this, verse 6. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. I made it no secret. We're dog people at Every Nation, New Jersey. And I have my golden retrievers. I need to tell you about Marshall. Marshall's our youngest golden retriever. Great dog, just kind of like really silly, like funny. And because my wife, Susan, is undisciplined and gets my dogs bad habits. So she's trained our dogs that when we get ice out of the ice maker, she's trained these dogs to know, ice, we get to have ice. And they come converge at the ice maker, and then we got to give them an ice cube, and they do that. Well, something happened to my dog, Marshall, where he eats ice, and the moment the ice hits his stomach, blah, all that stuff is coming back up. It doesn't matter. So this recent freeze has been a nightmare. He goes outside, eats snow, comes inside, blah, like that. Do you know that God, he says this, when you sense care, that is your sign for prayer. Like immediately, when you feel anything bubble up or you're like, oh my gosh, there's something that I just can't shake and get rid of, that is your sign. I need to get that stuff out of me. I need to confess it before God, lay it before him in prayer, in supplication, and then we thank him. Why? We thank him because he's good, that no matter what, that God's going to see us through these difficult times because he's big, because he's loving. So that's what we're called to do. And he says, as we get that stuff out of us and we pray and supplicate, here's what he says. Here's the promise. God says, listen, I'm going to guard your heart. I'm going to guard your mind. So you wonder why, like, Hack sits behind me? He's my bodyguard. So anyone doesn't like what I preach, you got to get through him first, okay? So he's assigned to guard me, and that God says, no, I'm going to guard your heart and your mind. But it's a discipline. We have to do that. And that's going to give me, to our last point is this, verse 8. We got to patrol our mind. It says in verse 8, it says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. God just said through Paul, he says this, you are responsible for the life of your mind. You are not a victim. That God says you are to take every thought captive. Do you know he commands us to? He says to set your mind on things above. That's your job, and that's a command. He says to take every thought captive and bring it obedient to the word of God. He commands you and I to do that. But here's something. So a little exercise, and then we're going to get to close. So men, I'm going to speak to you. Don't think about a naked woman right now. Don't. Now, for the record, men, I'm just going to help the husbands out here. Like when your wife asks you, hey, you didn't think about that. Pastor said, no, don't do that. You have my permission to lie. All right. Where you can say, no, sweetheart, I was thinking of the Bible and our wedding day. Right. Ladies, don't think about that person in your life. You know the one that you know you're supposed to love, but you really can't stand this woman because it seems like everything goes well for her. She gets that guy. She gets that purse. She gets that, and you know you shouldn't, but she drives you crazy. Don't think about that woman, all right? And now, men, when you ask her, hey, who's that woman that pastor was thinking about? Ladies, you have my permission to lie, and you can say, oh, I was thinking about Proverbs 31, actually, and bunnies and kittens, right? Wrong. And here's my point. My point is this. You can't not think about things. So what you do, you can't say, I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to worry. You don't do that. The mind doesn't work that way. You need to replace thoughts with thoughts. And so that's why God says this. You take that garbage, you kick it out, and you replace it with my word. And some of you are like, hey, I don't know God's word. That's my point. You need to get to growth track. You need to get in the Word on a daily basis. I'll close with this story. My daughter, Cassie, once again, my firstborn that's deceived by the Patriots. When she was in high school, she asked if she could have, it was her birthday, and she had a party. Can she have a few friends over in our backyard? Absolutely, because Susan and I are wonderful parents. So they did that, and so this was, we were kind of like naive, though, and we didn't realize, you know, one kid posts on Facebook, party at Cassie's house. You know how that ends, right? So I was oblivious to this. And so they're in the backyard and my daughter comes in with a look of terror on her face because it looked like a Justin Bieber concert broke out in my backyard. There was just a wave of kids, all of them underage. Some of them got beers and these type of things. But my daughter understands, uh-oh, that doesn't belong there. And so she comes in, Dad, I don't know what's going on. It just got out of control, blah, 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 blah. And so I got to, man, you know what I did? I did a few reps first, you know, did that thing. And then I went out, oiled up a little bit, and then I went out to the backyard, and it was awesome. So I just got to go. I didn't even say one word. It was like the finger of God, and it just, everyone swarmed. And I got great news for you. That we go to our Heavenly Father, and our Heavenly Father begins to kick stuff out, and then we replace these thoughts, worry, anxiety, with the Word of God. And as we do, now suddenly we have the peace of God. Suddenly we get to live our life from the pocket of God's peace, and we become powerful and dangerous to the kingdom of darkness.
Thanks for joining us at Every Nation, New Jersey, where our vision is to partner with God and people to transform the world one life at a time.